Hi everyone, I'm Tony Chen and this is Fish and Bits, a business and data podcast on the world of seafood. It's that time again to dive into the quarterly financials of publicly traded salmon companies. If you've been listening to our episodes frequently, you're more than aware of the challenges that have continued to impact the industry, from biological to environmental issues. In this last quarter, we saw more of the same, but the results are definitely an improvement over what we saw in quarter three. In this episode, I'm going to break down the results of what's been reported and how I think it will impact the industry. First, I'm going to break down the overall trends that we see in the data. We'll review exactly why EBIT per kilogram is such an important metric and how it impacts investor outlook on the businesses. Then, I'll go through the publicly traded companies, their results, and how they plan to address them moving forward. For the first time, I'm also able to include the financials of two new operations, Salmar Aker's Ocean Farm 1 and Salmon Evolution, into our reporting, now that both companies have begun harvesting fish in significant volumes. Lastly, I'll use those companies and their financials to break down how these two new approaches to farming salmon can impact the industry for years to come. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode, so let's dive in. I'm going to start by reviewing the numbers around EBIT per kilogram reported by the publicly traded salmon companies from Q4 of last year. As I've mentioned on our previous episode of quarterly numbers, it's a key financial metric that the industry and investors pay close attention to. EBIT stands for earning before interest and taxes, but in its simplest explanation, it's how much money a company is making after you subtract the costs associated with making the product. For a salmon company, EBIT per kilogram is a great way to compare across many different salmon regions and sizes of company. It's a great way to see if the fish that a company put onto people's plates made it there with a profit or not. One of the advantages of this metric is that it accounts for a lot of different risks and factors. If your farm struggled with mortalities or got hit with a disease, at the end of the day, that's less fish that made it to harvest, so your costs would go up, and you would need to make up for that difference in the price you sold the fish for. It also accounts for the strategic decisions that a farmer may make. Say you invest more in the quality of the fish, market your product more, and therefore fetch a higher premium price. Again, EBIT per kilogram would be able to reflect that. There are other metrics that matter, but I would argue that for public markets, this is the one metric that investors like to pay attention to. Publicly traded companies are competing for investment dollars that are looking across many different industries, and they want to see that these farming companies are able to turn a profit. As a farm, if you're trying to raise money or to build a new smolt facility or workboat, a bank or private investor most of the time is looking to see deeper KPIs that the company is operating efficiently. In the public markets, however, it's a little different. If you look through the shareholders of these farming companies, what you'll find is a collection of investment companies like Morgan Stanley, JP Morgan, Ferd, State Street Bank, and Citibank that all hold significant volumes. These are some of the largest investment firms in the world, and many of them have actually diversified their investments across a number of the publicly traded companies. State Street Bank, for example, which is based in Boston, owns significant shares and is a top shareholder in Moovy, Salmar, Leroy, Grieg, and Backofrost. And for the most part, the stock prices of these companies correlates quite well with the EBIT per kilogram metric, and that makes sense. As long as a company stays profitable, then they are generating money that can be reinvested back into the company, and stockholders can also receive dividends. At a certain point, many of these investors don't care if there's a big disease outbreak or sea temperature spikes in a particular region. If you're not able to keep your EBIT per kilogram above zero over time, the market will recognize it and respond accordingly. I've been looking at the reports of the seven total companies. Five that are based in Norway, Moovy, Leroy, Salmar, and Grieg. One in Chile, Salmon Compenchaca, and one in the Faroe Islands, Backofrost. Six of these are traditional net pen farmers, and one, Salmon Evolution, is a land-based farm. I'll talk about the land-based farms in a moment, but let's focus on the six traditional farming companies first. Of the six companies, the top three companies in their EBIT per kilogram figures in quarter four were Backofrost, Salmar, and Moovy. They all reported numbers above 20 NOC per kilogram, and Bakkafrost and SalMar both reported improvements compared to their 2022 quarter four figures. The public markets and stock prices reflected these improvements. Over the last 6 months, the stock price of Bakkafrost and SalMar have both risen more than 25%, and Movie stock has risen 7%. On the other hand, the companies that have reported negative EBIT per kilogram numbers and drops between the years of 2022 to 2023 have seen the exact opposite trend. Grieg, Leroy, and Salmones Kampanchaka all reported decreases in their year-to-year Q4 numbers. Salmones Kampanchaka, for example, has reported drops of over 17 NOK per kilogram each of the last two quarters. Their stock price has dropped a significant 36% as a result. Now, it's important to keep in mind that there are many outstanding factors that can impact this industry. Conditions vary around the world, and the Southern Hemisphere, for example, has been dealing with El Nino. But, for example, when Movie is able to return a positive EBIT per kilogram figure in Chile, while Sam and Kampanchaka can't, it's not a good look for the company. That said, let me break down a few more patterns that I saw while looking through the data. Instead of just looking at the companies themselves, their aggregated data also says a lot about the farming regions. The first pattern is that when you break the data down by country, it's clear that the Faroe Islands and Norway are clear leaders in the ability to produce profits. They've typically been at the top of the pack, but in Q4, no other country was even close. Prior to the sea lice outbreaks last fall in Iceland, they would also be included in this category, but they are now still recovering from those challenges. When you lose a ton of fish, it's hard to just come back from that, and it, to be honest, takes time. Another interesting fact is that as a country, Canada and Scotland continue to struggle, both reporting losses over the last two quarters. Movie was the one company able to stay positive in Canada, but in Scotland, every single company, Movie, SalMar, and Bakkafrost, all reported losses. Now, all this may not necessarily sound like good news, but I also think it's important to keep in mind that these figures are representative of how efficient the companies are. While they may not be making profits, for many companies, they've had historical revenues and harvest volumes. There's also factors like the global economy, which has been driving feed costs up and consumer spending down, which has been squeezing profit levels for these companies. Again, the challenge is, however, at some point, if these trends continue for too long, many of these companies are going to run into trouble if they run out of cash reserves or lose out on the ability to raise funding rounds. And that leads me to talking about the two new entrants into the EBIT per kilogram race in the world of salmon farming. For many years, there's been excitement for the potential of new farming methods that would enable the salmon industry to scale into the future, and many companies have been working to try out new solutions. Well, we finally reached a point where these new ideas have been able to reach a stable enough state to be measured along with traditional farmers. The two companies, both publicly traded, are Salmon Evolution, a land-based recirculating aquaculture system, or RAS farm, and SalMar Aker's offshore farm, Ocean Farm 1. Both these projects have been in development for years as a result of Norway's governmental push to develop new farming methods, and we've finally been able to see some progress that matter in the world of public markets. The hype cycle for these technologies may not be as high as they used to be, but what interests me the most is that now we can start to see what the real potential may be. For Ocean Farm 1, it's the first time that we've seen the company report EBIT per kilogram numbers following a harvest of 2,300 tons of salmon in quarter four. 2,300 tons is no small volume. That's roughly equivalent to what you see from a small farming location that has a number of cages. The farm itself is an engineering masterpiece. It's 110 meters in diameter, 69 meters in height, and more closely resembled an oil rig than the floating cages you see along the coastline. As unique as the structure is, you can imagine that the operating cost to maintain this structure hasn't been optimized yet. Simple things like sampling, feeding, and harvesting the fish have needed to be reworked, and I'm sure the processes can be improved. But nonetheless, this operation was still able to produce a positive EBIT per kilogram of 4.8 NOK per kilo. That's not to the level of some of the top producers, But as I've mentioned, a positive EBIT per kilogram figure in this market is still significant nonetheless. What gets people excited about this concept is that while the structure has been largely operated near shore so far, the potential is for this technology to enable offshore farming. Instead of needing to be near a coastline or connected to a feed barge, this concept could potentially be driven offshore into the open ocean. The environment and logistical challenges would be completely different out there, but the work that has happened so far has been building the necessary knowledge to move these structures into more exposed locations. It'll be a very interesting development to follow. The second concept is Salmon Evolution's land-based salmon farm. For many years, the idea of growing salmon on land in large facilities has been extremely enticing. You could place these farms closer to consumers, and it reduced all the environmental challenges of the open ocean. At times over the last few years, people have presented projections that land-based farms could represent a significant portion, if not replace all, of traditionally farmed salmon. While those projections and excitement for RAS farms has died down from those times, many of these companies are still making progress. The question isn't if we can farm salmon on land. The question is whether it can be done profitably at scale. Well, with some significant harvest volumes from Salmon Evolution this last quarter, we may be getting a glimpse into what that future looks like. This last quarter, the company harvested 1,100 tons, about half of Salmar Aker's offshore rig, and they were able to report EBIT per kilogram earnings of negative 15 NOK per kilo. Now, that's still losing money and puts the company in dead last in the EBIT per kilogram race, but there is still optimism here. The quarter before, their EBIT per kilogram number was negative 130, or roughly 10 times higher. Now, they harvested less than 200 tons in Q3, but it shows that they are making progress. It was reported that the average harvest weight of this last batch was 3.9 kilograms, which is definitely on the small side, but again, it's an improving figure. What will be interesting is to see if they're going to be able to continue this pattern, but it seems like they've proven what they've needed to so far. In a time period where land-based farms have needed to sell assets, Salmon Evolution stock the last 6 months has increased by 5%, a sign that investors have faith in the direction of the company. It'll be extremely interesting to see what happens the next few quarters with Salmon Evolution and Salmar Aker. You can be sure that I'll continue to follow the patterns and see how the industry develops. If you would like to look through these numbers yourself, I'd encourage you to sign up for our Manilin newsletter, where we aggregate these figures into a downloadable report that we publish each quarter. And that's all for today, guys. Just so you're aware, I'm going to be off for a few weeks. I'll be attending the North Atlantic Seafood Forum in Bergen and the Seafood Expo in Boston. If you will be at either one of these, please do reach out. I'd love to hear from you. As always, I hope you've learned something new today, and I'll always appreciate it when you share this podcast with a friend. Have a great week, and I'll be back soon.